Here you are. BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy. And your plants do too.
Aw,
I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
I first started running about 15 years ago as a way to quit smoking. Back then, my running clothes were very Rocky Balboa, so sweatpants, sweatshirt. Anyone who goes hiking or trail running knows that it's a lot easier and a lot more fun when you're wearing the right gear. Jonji makes performance apparel that'll take you farther on your runs and hikes. They have this merino wool hoodie that I wore on multiple trail runs this weekend. It's soft, it's warm, and most importantly, it does not get stinky when you get stinky. Another reason to love Jonji is that they donate 2% of all sales towards clean water projects, raising nearly $1 million so far. Head to jonji.com to find your new favorite trail wear, outdoors accessories, and essentials. And use the code OUTSIDE for 10% off at jonji.com. That's JANJI.com with the code OUTSIDE for 10% off. When I was a little kid, my whole family, grandparents included, packed into a Dodge Caravan and went on a 2-week road trip to Wyoming. We saw the rodeo in Cody, a grizzly bear in Yellowstone National Park, and an epic thunderstorm near Devil's Tower. On that trip, I fell in love with the West and the natural world. This might sound cheesy, but it kind of made me who I am today. Wyoming has it all. Breathtaking hikes, kid-friendly museums, two of the coolest national parks in the country. The truth lies west. Discover yours at travelwyoming.com. Hey, this is Outside In. I'm Nate Hedgie.
It's about 38 degrees, wet, slushy snow, clouds, classic Juneau, Alaska day.
Earlier this year, I was jet-lagged, cold, and waiting for a guy named Tom Matisse to meet me at a parking lot in Alaska's capital city. When he finally pulled up, he was driving a giant white Ford pickup truck with a bumper sticker that said,
"Fishing Magician."
Yeah, it was a, you know, it was an old plow truck from Oregon, and I painted it all up.
Yeah, it looks good. It looks really good.
Tom's lived in Juneau for about 2 decades, and he wanted to meet me at the city's famous shrinking glacier, Mendenhall. We watched as people walked across a giant frozen lake to see the glacier's ice caves.
You want to see me out on that ice? Probably not. There's springs and creeks coming out from underneath the ice over there, and the ice still calves over there. And you could go over there and have a piece of ice the size of a house fall off and crash right through the ice. So I'm a little always a little nervous on the lake. It's pretty safe, but you definitely want to pay attention.
Tom is used to thinking carefully about risk. He's the emergency programs manager for the city and borough of Juneau. It's basically his job to stop people from getting killed, not only from ice, but from landslides too.
The mountains are young. The mountains are very straight up and down. And every time we get precipitation and every time the wind blows, little pieces of earth go downhill with gravity. And sometimes that's grains of sand, and sometimes that's the mountainside. And when's it going to stop? When it turns into the Sahara Desert and it's all nice and flat.
Or to put it more simply,
remember, in the end, shit rolls downhill.
Stuff has been rolling downhill in Juneau for a very long time. It was built as a mining town in the 19th century, a bowl surrounded by steep mountains on all sides. Back in 1936, a landslide tore through downtown and killed 15 people. A local paper described the bodies as bruised and discolored, as if, quote, hurled through a mighty grinder. But smaller landslides happen almost every year.
I had never lived in a place that had landslide risk before, so I didn't think twice about the fact that there was a very steep hill behind me.
This is Christine Wall. She's one of Juneau's 9 elected assembly members.
And soon after I moved out of that place, some large trees actually slid down the hill and through the wall, back walls of the house, and no one was injured, but I know there was a significant amount of damage to the property.
The point is, the people of Juneau are in a fight with gravity. Tom told me about a group of Swiss avalanche scientists that recently came to visit.
When they show up, they look and they go, "You let people live there?" And it's like, well, we live in Alaska. We have a long history of loss in Alaska and rugged individualism in Alaska. So people made their own decisions and decided where they want to live. Not all of them in the best places.
The city got real about the dangers in the 1980s. They funded and then published a hazard map for downtown Juneau that showed the combined risk of both avalanches and landslides. Then they passed building restrictions for areas that were in really high-risk zones.
If it's on the map in such a way that it could experience significant loss of life and property, we probably shouldn't build a lot of things there. And we limited those properties to single-family dwellings. You can't build a condo, you can't build an apartment, you can't put an accessory dwelling on your property if you already have a property.
But flash forward to today, and the city's climate is changing. Juneau is becoming warmer and wetter, which actually means fewer avalanches, but more landslides. So, in 2018, the city got a small grant from the federal government, about $200,000, to make some new hazard maps for the downtown area. They hired a well-respected company out of Canada to do it. And when they handed over their work, the landslide zone had expanded. Big time. Now, more than 200 homes, condos, and restaurants were considered at risk. That's roughly a quarter of downtown Juneau.
Unfortunately, when you find out things that you don't want to hear, the question is how you swallow that.
These new hazard maps presented the city with a very inconvenient and frightening set of facts. But that's the thing about risk. Just because something bad could happen doesn't mean it definitely will, right? So in a world made more dangerous because of climate change, what is Juneau, what are any of us supposed to do?
Do we really have to adopt these maps?
I love my home. I don't want to leave.
This again is Outside In. Stay tuned.
Okay, perfect. Oh, this is a fun house.
There's a neighborhood in Juneau that looks like it was plucked from the hills of San Francisco and then plopped into the middle of a rainforest. Think steep, narrow streets and rows of colorful houses.
We call it Teva Aruma. It's Hebrew for the Red Ark.
One of these houses is red and purple with rainbow-colored steps.
My husband kind of named it, and an ark is a place of sanctuary.
And does it feel like a sanctuary to you?
It does. It does. It's kind of like living in a treehouse because we're clinging to the side of the mountain and we're in the trees. And it's just, it was the perfect house for us.
This is Eve Soutier. She's lived in this house for about 9 years. Eve painted her stairs rainbow colored after she thought the Supreme Court might ban same-sex marriage a couple of summers ago.
It's been wonderful because tourists come. People have asked if they could take pictures with themselves sitting on it, and I've met a lot of people that way. It's been wonderful.
You can probably tell, but Eve is very progressive, and she knows the climate is changing. She's even pushed the city to reduce its carbon footprint.
I honestly believe global climate disruption is completely changing the calculus for us.
But then, in the summer of 2021, the city of Juneau quietly published a draft of the new hazard maps on their website. And that's what got the ball rolling.
The neighbors all talk, and they were like, "Hey, have you seen this?"
Eve knew that when she bought her place, that there was a slight risk for landslides. After all, the boundary of the old hazard zone ended at her property line, almost right at her back door.
We've got spruce trees hanging over the house, but
It was when it was listed, when we kind of looked at it, they said that it was in a mild or low risk area.
And what was your reaction when you first saw that you went from very little to severe?
Kind of like, what are they smoking? Like, how? How is that even possible?
To understand one reason why these maps were so unpopular, you have to understand a thing or two about the term landslides. It's a broad category of disaster. They can include everything from a bunch of loose rocks tumbling down a hill and damaging the outside of a house, to the entire hillside liquefying and wiping out whole neighborhoods. Also, the timeline is unpredictable. Unlike, say, avalanches, which tend to happen at the same places during the same time of year, a landslide zone can go decades or even centuries before finally giving way. So if you've gotten away with it for a long time, it's tempting to think that you can just roll the dice and be okay. But even for Yves Soutier, whose initial reaction to the maps was one of disbelief.
How is that even possible?
There are nights when Juno scares her.
We get these crazy rains where days and days and days. And the ground outside will be squishy.
On one of those recent rainy nights, part of her neighborhood was evacuated after a small landslide. Yves stayed put. Her house wasn't under notice.
But that night, I didn't sleep very well. I was outside looking at the trees. The wind was howling, making sure that the ground wasn't moving as the trees were swinging, and just checking to see where that water was draining.
The worst kinds of landslides, the ones you see on the news, are called debris flows. It's a scientific term for something that looks anything but a horrible jumble of trees, boulders, and mud, traveling up to 35 miles per hour. According to emergency authorities, a lot of the people killed in debris flows are sleeping on a ground floor when the mud flows in. Eve still believes that her home isn't likely to get destroyed by a landslide. But she also isn't Pollyanna about it. She compares it to flying a plane, which, by the way, is something she actually does. She's a pilot.
I think we all assume a certain amount of risk. Every time I pre-flight, I assume that risk. Every time I take off, I assume that risk. I know what the risk is. And for me, it's worth it. This place, to me, is my sanctuary. And you'd asked me before why, and I think it's because of love. You'll do a lot for love.
That's the thing about love. When you're in the thick of it, it's easy to ignore the red flags. The maps can't be that accurate, right? That the one you love would never really hurt you. We risk a lot for love. But banks and insurance companies? That's another story.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
This is BVK for Ocean City Tourism, OCMD, streaming audio. On March 11th, 2024, the title of the spot is STSA Leisure Summer. This is a 30-second composite stereo streaming audio mix.
get away with friends to the laid-back Maryland coast, where you can catch up while casting off and hang 10 while hanging out, where a day on board is never boring and full throttle is half the fun, where you can sink a putt, raise a glass, and there's always room for one more round. Ocean City, Maryland. Somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
Save big money on everything for your spring projects at Menards. We have all of your garden and landscaping essentials. Master Garden Premium Garden Soil contains a slow-release fertilizer that feeds gardens for up to 9 months. It produces better results and is ready to use for all your gardening needs. Save big on Menards' great selection of garden and landscaping products. Compare brands in-store or online at Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, this is Outside In. I'm Nate Hedgie. Juneau is like the Adam Driver of towns. A little rough around the edges, a little dangerous, but also very easy to fall in love with. It's got cozy coffee shops, breweries, trails that wind into the mountains from downtown. You can drive 15 minutes and see humpback whales breaching offshore. It's also the state capital, so there are lots of high-paying jobs here. The Coast Guard has a base. Hundreds of people move to Juneau every year. But the number of homes here is limited. Yves Soutier was lucky.
I know of at least one attorney who lived at the Juneau Hotel for several months before they were able to find a place to live.
The market is tight. So that's why I was so surprised when I went on Zillow and I found a cute little red house that had been sitting unsold for months. Turns out, it was in the severe landslide hazard zone. And when I called up a local mortgage lender, she told me that the banks were wary of lending on homes there. In part because in Southeast Alaska, you can't get landslide insurance. It's been that way since 2015.
Three people are missing in Alaska this morning after devastating landslides tore through a small city. At least three landslides swept away several homes in Sitka yesterday. The city's fire marshal is among the missing.
The Sitka landslides, about 90 miles southwest of Juneau, were a reality check for the insurance industry. They pulled coverage across Southeast Alaska because they realized they probably wouldn't make a profit. Here's why. Landslides and other big natural disasters are known as catastrophic risks.
Meaning that there can be multiple properties affected at the same time. So the risks are correlated, and insurers like to see risks that, you know, are sort of independent. That if there's a loss on one property, it doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be loss on multiple properties.
That's Lloyd Dixon. He's a senior economist with the RAND Corporation who focuses on natural disasters and insurance. He says that for insurance companies to offer packages for big disasters like landslides, they need a lot of people buying that coverage to make it financially worthwhile. But in Southeast Alaska, that hasn't always been the case.
There really did not seem to be a lot of demand for them.
Turns out, this is a very normal human tendency.
There's been research that you know, says that people tend to, you know, underestimate low probability risks, that, you know, if you don't see it very often, you tend to just sort of out of mind, out of sight, not going to happen to me, and people just ignore it.
In other words, that rugged individualism, I'll take my own risks, damn the consequences, had damned Southeast Alaska right out of landslide insurance, making homes inside this brand new hazard zone tougher to sell. And this is what really freaked locals out about the maps.
I'd like to call to order the regular Planning Commission meeting of May 23rd. Mr. Brown, would you read the language?
More than once, the city of Juneau has hosted public neighborhood meetings about expanded landslide zones. Dozens of people expressed their worries, including Mary.
My name is Mary Ellen Duffy. I live in the Westridge condos downtown.
Mary is a lifelong resident of Juneau, living on a fixed income. In the video, you can see her sitting at a white table in front of one of those long, black, skinny microphones you see in movies. You know, the ones where a main character is sweatily testifying in front of Congress.
My Westridge condo is my home, my retirement, and my life investment.
Mary told the commission she might have to sell her home because the property taxes were too expensive. But now it's been placed in a severe landslide hazard zone, she might not be able to find a buyer. Banks don't want to offer loans for houses that might get flattened by mud.
When I spoke with the city assessor, her comments stunned me. She said, if I cannot afford to remain in my home, I can move elsewhere. Never mind that the banks might not lend, making resale questionable. Seriously? Just pack up everything, go find another place to live? I could afford this condo when I bought it, and I love my home. I don't want to leave.
What all of this means is that the only people who could potentially afford to buy homes in these areas will be the wealthy. People who can pay cash or offer some kind of big collateral in order to secure a loan. But do you really want people buying up houses in severe landslide zones anyway? I mean, isn't the whole point to restrict these areas to keep people safe?
And Albert, I believe the mic is still on, so you could say and spell your name for us. You have 3 minutes.
My name is Albert Shaw. I live at 300 Hermit Street.
Albert Shaw was one of the few people advocating for what is sometimes called managed retreat, which is saying something because Albert has lived in Alaska since before it was officially a state.
I'm one of the last persons standing who saw the mud against the cold storage in 1936. It killed people.
He's referring to that deadly landslide in 1936, the one that the local newspaper called a, quote, mighty grinder. The cold storage, he mentioned, was a building downtown that held salmon on ice for local fishermen. Now he was sitting in front of the assembly, pleading with them to start a home buyout program.
How that's going to be decided really has to be worked out. We need a lawyer, but we need to get people out of there. Just because nothing's happened in 60 years doesn't mean something won't happen soon.
I talked to Tom Matisse, the city's emergency programs manager, about the buyout idea. He likes it, in theory. But he also knows that programs like that cost money.
There are some federal grant programs which you can apply to mitigation towards buyouts and relocations. Those grants come with cost shares.
These cost shares mean that the local government is still on the hook for 25% of the purchase and demolition. And who ponies up the cash? You do, the taxpayer.
Mitigation is the right thing to do, but the question is at what cost to who? Because you kind of have to rob Peter to pay Paul, right?
But isn't that the point? Bio programs are actually supposed to save money because the cost of a big disaster can be much bigger than the cost of preparing for it. All across the country, climate change is knocking on people's front door. The risk is there, but the safety net isn't. In Oregon, state officials withdrew a new wildfire map after residents worried about losing their insurance. In Indiana, a new state flood map was rejected after locals worried about what it meant for their property values. In Sitka, that town 90 miles from Juneau where landslides killed 3 people a decade ago, city officials removed landslide restrictions from the city's building codes.
Certainly when I was growing up, if your community was hit by a natural disaster, you would expect the federal government, the state government to come help. And I think that has shifted.
When you talk to Tom Matisse and Christine Wall, the assemblywoman, you get the impression these are issues smaller cities are simply not equipped to handle. Rather than tackling the risks of climate change, they're backing away from the evidence that shows it creeping up in the first place.
With climate change, we have so much more risk and natural disasters happening that when people come to their local community and say, it's your responsibility, it's complicated for us to figure out, as the last line of defense when our state government and our federal government and our insurance companies are no longer providing that. I find that that is something that people aren't really grappling with yet.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It's December of 2023. The nine-person Juno Assembly is gathered around a U-shaped desk. It kind of looks like a low-budget game show.
We will bring the regular Assembly meeting. Woo! That's an echo.
The Assembly was gathered to decide how best to respond to the expanded landslide zones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is Ordinance 2023-18, an ordinance amending the City and Borough of Juneau Code related to development in landslide and avalanche hazard areas.
They had spent 3 years scrutinizing them, debating whether to add new building restrictions. Meanwhile, a landslide had recently killed a family of five in the nearby town of Wrangell, Alaska.
This is not a perfect document in any way, shape, or form, but with your help, we made it as perfect as we possibly can. So,
I said earlier in the episode that there were already building restrictions in place. Ever since the 1980s, new apartment buildings, condos, couldn't be placed in severe hazard zones, at least not without special permissions and an engineer's approval.
If it's on the map in such a way that it could experience significant loss of life and property, we probably shouldn't build a lot of things there.
By adopting the new landslide map, they'd be expanding those restrictions, throttling new development downtown in the midst of a housing crisis. So instead, they went in the opposite direction. The Juno Assembly lifted the restrictions altogether. That includes lifting the previous restrictions set back in the 1980s. In other words, this ordinance could potentially put more people in the way of serious landslides. Not all the Assembly members love this idea.
Wrangell experiencing a tragic loss of life with their landslides, and Haines before that. I, of course, like all of you, hope that that doesn't come to pass in Juneau, but as climate change continues and it does get warmer and wetter, that is a real danger. And so I just want us to be clear-eyed as we go into this, that there's not a lot of really safe places to live in Juneau, and this is still where we've chosen to live.
Even the mayor didn't exactly give a full-throated endorsement. But it passed anyway. Risks be damned.
I know you're not thrilled with it. I can tell you right now that I'm not thrilled with it, and I probably have a little bit different view than some because of my public safety background, but this is the best what we could probably come up with. So with that, I'll remove my objection. Seeing no objection, this ordinance passes.
Perfectly happy with the compromise.
Assemblywoman Christine Wall.
Me as a property owner, would I want to live in some of those areas? No. That's my risk tolerance.
To be clear, the landslide maps still exist. But the official policy of city planners is to basically ignore them.
They're on our website and people can use them to inform themselves about where they live. But there were no longer regulations associated with those landslide maps. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does, yes. But it also feels counterintuitive. Like, why remove the building restrictions in these dangerous zones?
Yeah, so that's where this, I think the complexity of this issue comes in. I very strongly believe that the public has a right to know where these hazards and where these risks exist. Where I think the Assembly was having a harder time was, do we have the right to tell people what they can and can't build in those areas? And so we decided that let's inform people, and they can make that choice about whether that's a risk they want to take or not.
But is this really a choice? There's a common myth out there that ostriches stick their head in the sand to avoid a predator. It was actually started by Pliny the Elder, who wrote it in the world's first encyclopedia. But it isn't true. When a predator comes, an ostrich runs at speeds up to 40 miles an hour. But what if there's nowhere to run to? If you can't sell your home, or you're a renter trying to find a place to live during a housing crisis? It seems like there are even fewer safe options than there were before. Because in Juneau, the city told people about a danger. But then they had no plans for what came next. No buyout. No managed retreat. No place to run. So it's really no surprise that people stick their heads in the sand.
I love my neighborhood. I love my neighbors. I had never dreamed I'd be able to live in a place like this.
That's Eve, the pilot who lives in the little red and purple house with the rainbow stairs. She's comfortable without the hazard maps. She'll take her own risks.
I guess for me, my hope is if it happens, I can either get out of the house or be found pretty quickly, or it's all over really quickly. I've thought about it, though.
And is that kind of your calculus? Is like, in the same way that if it's a plane and, you know, something tragic happens with the plane, it's kind of like, all right, I'm comfortable isn't the right word to use. But if this is the way I die, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
This episode was written and produced by me, Nate Hedgie. It was edited by Taylor Quimby with help from Katie Culinary, Felix Poon, and Justine Paradise. Special thanks to Meredith Trainer and Zachary Provant. We're going to have links to the landslide hazard maps along with some studies on Juneau and the insurance industry in the show notes. A big shout out to public radio station KTOO in Juneau. I really relied on their reporting for research for this story. NHPR's esteemed head of podcasts is Rebecca Lavoie. Our theme music is by Breakmaster Cylinder. Music by Blue Dot Sessions. Outside In is a production of NHPR.
This is BVK for Ocean City Tourism, OCMD Streaming Audio. On March 11th, 2024, the title of the spot is STSA Leisure Summer. This is a 30-second composite stereo streaming audio mix.
Get away with friends to the laid-back Maryland coast, where you can catch up while casting off and hang 10 while hanging out, where a day on board is never boring. And full throttle is half the fun. Where you can sink a putt, raise a glass, and there's always room for one more round. Ocean City, Maryland. Somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
Save big money on everything for your spring projects at Menards. We have all of your garden and landscaping essentials. Master Garden Premium Garden Soil contains a slow-release fertilizer that feeds gardens for up to 9 months. It produces better results and is ready to use for all your gardening needs. Save big on Menards' great selection of garden and landscaping products. Compare brands in-store or online at Menards.com. Save big.